Our scripture reading tonight is from John 17, 9 through 20, and Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. This is John in the New Living Translation. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who you've given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me so that they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in the world. But I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protect them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except that one headed for destruction, as the scripture foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, as they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And in Hebrews, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. This is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, because we would love for you to speak your truth right into our hearts and into our lives. Because we would love to hear your voice, because we would love to see your glory, because we would love to be transformed, Lord God, by your grace and your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel so far away. Keep stretching my cord as long as I can to get close to you. There are, I find anyway, these balancing acts we have to do as we walk this life that Jesus has called us to. These different truths that we need to keep in balance. One of them is the fact that God tells us through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are now his friends. We are now friends of God. And yet we have to keep that truth of being friends with God in balance with the reality of who God is, what his character is, his holiness, his awesomeness, his complete otherness of who we are. And so we're invited to this intimacy to call him Abba, Papa, to bring our very concerns, our very cares, our very heart to him. And yet at the same point, at the same moment, we stand in awe and in reverence of this God who is a consuming fire. And in our worship and in our prayers and in our lives, we hold these things in balance. Both of them so important to recognize the intimacy and yet the awesomeness of God at the same time. Now, the beautiful thing about keeping a balance like that is the more that we see God, the more that we understand him in the light of Jesus Christ, the more in awe we are of him, that he would love us and shower his grace on us when we get a little taste of his holiness. There are other things that we have to keep in balance as well. And one of them is sort of something sparked off by these scriptures that we read today. And that is that we live this life that we slug out every day in between the two comings of Jesus Christ. He came once in the flesh to reconcile the world back to God the Father, and he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, to set all things straight. And so we live in between these two advents of Jesus. We live sort of in the now, between the now and the not yet, in the fact that we're not what we were as God sanctifies us, transforming us from glory to glory. We're not once what we once were, but we're not yet all that we will be when we see him face to face, when we're like him, when we know him fully, even as we are now fully understood. And so how do we live as people of faith in between these two comings, these two advents of Jesus? Because, you know, we tend to go one extreme or the other. We immerse ourselves so fully in this world that we forget all about the hope and the promise and God's higher calling for us. Or we're so busy looking for Jesus' second coming that we don't live this life that God's given us on earth. Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." And I believe that God has indeed given us life of abundance. And yes, that life of abundance, that life in the full, will ultimately be experienced to us when we see him face to face. But I believe God cares very much about these 40, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years that we walk on this earth. Again and again in the scriptures, we see the fullness of God right now, right here. David says in Psalm 27, he says, "Of this I remain confident." After he talks about enemies and struggles and being abandoned even by his parents, he says this, "But of this I remain confident, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. We look at Jesus when he was fleshed out for us on this earth and he lived life fully. We see scenes of Jesus around dinner tables, at a wedding, everywhere he goes, interacting with people, loving them, healing them, touching them, changing them, calling them. Jesus lived life fully, so fully, as a matter of fact, that the Pharisees tied up in rules and regulations were much happier with John the Baptist dressed in wild skin and eating honey as opposed to Jesus, who they saw this party guy, this guy hanging around with drunkards and prostitutes and all sorts of other rabble-rousers. And yet Jesus lived fully, never compromising who he was, but meeting people where they were and loving them and enjoying the blessings of God. And we see that, the blessings of God in our own lives, in our family, in the things that he's provided for us. Again and again in the Psalms, we see the blessing of sitting around a table, experiencing God's fullness as he filled storehouses and larders and barns, as heads were anointed with oil, as cups ran over, the joyous blessings of God, and to celebrate them. And I believe that God intends for us to live this life fully, to experience his blessings, to be available for him to use us in whatever way he would, to continually walk this road that allows us to more and more and more yield ourselves to him. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of God is among you." I believe when Jesus came bursting into human history, he began the process of ushering in the kingdom of God. That where Jesus is, God's kingdom is. And Jesus lives in us. So as we walk this messy, broken world we call home sometimes, we bring the kingdom of God with us. And God is continuing to transform us to citizens of his kingdom, that upside down kingdom that is so different from the kingdom of this world. This kingdom where the poor become rich, where the weak become strong, where the last become first, where the blind see, where the deaf hear, where the lame leap for joy, where the outcast and the immigrant is welcomed in, where the stranger and the alien are given full rights. This upside down kingdom of God, we're invited right now to become citizens of it. The problem is that the kingdom of God is not fully ushered in. And so we walk as citizens of the kingdom of God in this very broken world. This very broken world that would love nothing better than to steal our joy and our hope. That would love nothing better but to so weigh us down with the concerns and the cares of everyday living that we lose our hope, that blessed hope that one day we will live in a world, in a place where things are just as God created them to be, where sin and sorrow and dying and sighing and weeping are done away with, where God himself wipes away every tear. This hope that we hold on to, of life eternal that starts now in process. And one day we experience the fullness of it. So that for me is where I wrestle. How do I live this life fully and at the same time hold on to the hope that God calls me to. That he calls me to for an eternity in heaven. How do I do them both? Paul says this. He says, for me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Somehow Paul at least started having a handle on this, living his life poured out, and at the same time staying focused on the life that was before him. It's something that I long to do. We look at the brokenness of the world we live in. And sometimes we're tempted just to turn our head. You know, I'm really guilty of that. I don't like to read the news because I don't like to hear the horrors and the atrocity of what goes on. And yet we just prayed tonight as we sang, God, break our hearts for what? Break yours. God longs for the brokenness of this world to prompt us to be intercessors. Prompt us to lift up our broken world again and again and again to him. And throughout the scriptures, we see how when God's people prayed, when God's people called out for his love and his grace and his mercy on their land, on their world, on their lives, he answered, he moved. In some ways, it looks almost like he even changed his mind. That the judgment that was coming was somehow delayed. Because his people interceded. Because his people humbled themselves. Because his people cried out. So God reminds me that he doesn't put us in this broken world so that we can walk kind of with a Pollyanna kind of look, pretending that the brokenness doesn't exist. Pretending that if we do everything right, we're going to live lives that are untouched by brokenness, by sorrow, by hard times, by struggles. And that's absolutely just not true. And we sell people a very poor bill of goods when we say to them, come to Jesus and you will have no struggle. Jesus says, believe me, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. That's our hope. Not that we get to walk through this life unscarred, but that in the valley, in the struggle, in the hard times, God does not abandon us. And so as we live in this broken world with an eye toward heaven, we have two choices. We can let the things that don't go right, we can let the prayers that we don't see being answered, we can watch the pain of struggle, the pain of watching people we love struggle, we can let that harden our heart. We can let that make us resentful. We can let that make us believe that God doesn't care and that God can't fix it or God won't fix it. Or we can use those moments of our own suffering and the suffering of the world around us to cling to Jesus, to be reminded that God is close to the brokenhearted, that God weeps with those who weep, that sometimes the place that we find God the most powerfully in our lives are in the valleys, or in the times we're not sure we can make it through, in the times when we think we might be all alone, and we find in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the dark night of the soul, in the middle of the struggle, God is doing his best work, refining us, bringing us closer to him, showing us his presence, being more than enough for us. Here's this balance. Walking through a broken world without getting our hopes so tied into it, because the reality of it is no political party, no political system, no economic system, nothing that this world has to offer us can fully satisfy us. No hobby, no vocation, no calling even can fully satisfy us. And again, we have the option to walk around being dissatisfied people, searching for the next thing that we think is going to make us whole. And we see, maybe in our own lives, we certainly see in the world around us where that leads us. It's one of my concerns about this upcoming generation, who I know God has great plans for, is they're seeking to fill something in their lives that only God can fill. So we can look to this world, we can look to its systems, even the good systems. Or we can use that longing. We can use that emptiness that hits us sometimes. We can use that frustration that we have living in this world as strangers, as nomads, as wanderers, as aliens, as an opportunity to let God turn that thirst, that desperation, that dissatisfaction into a greater hunger for him. That it would lift our eyes from the blessings of this world, as beautiful as some of them are, and fix our eyes and our hearts on him, the only one who can fully satisfy us. As we look forward to the day when we no longer see through a mirror dimly, but when we see face to face. It's my prayer that I will walk through this world as a wanderer. I will walk through this world grateful for God's blessings, praising him for the good things he gives in my life, loving without restraint, following him passionately, being available to be used by him, and at the same time knowing that this is really not my home, and the only thing that is really ever going to satisfy me is more and more and more of him, and more and more and more of him, and more and more and more of him, until the day when I see him fully, in all his glory, in all his radiance, in all his beauty, and every longing I've ever had is filled to overflowing in you. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we need you to walk this road with us. Lord, we need you to make us aware of your goodness and your blessings to us. God, we need you to make us a grateful people. Lord, we need you to make us a people who pray, a people who are concerned for the lostness and the brokenness of this world we live in, God. We need to be a people who long to see you transform broken lives in our midst. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you're Emmanuel, that you're God with us. We're so thankful, as we read in the scriptures, that you pray for us. Lord, that you cover us, you protect us as we walk through sometimes enemy territory. You protect us by your name, by your blood. But Lord, we need you too to build in us this eternal hope, this blessed assurance, God, that one day this broken world will be made right. One day we will see righteousness and justice reign. God, one day we will see you face to face, and all our struggles and all our questions and all our doubts and all our fears will make perfect sense in the light of your love. So help us, God, keep this balance of being in the here and now and yet not completely belonging. God, use our lives to usher in your kingdom more and more and more. God, use us in the middle of the darkness to be light. In the middle of the brokenness, to be hope. In the middle of a world of wounded souls, God, to bring your healing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.